Hi, welcome to the Georgia Politics Podcast. This is Joseph Geierman of Doraville.org, and we're here to talk about Georgia politics. We've got a great panel tonight. I'm going to just start out and let them introduce themselves, starting to my right.
Hi, I'm Catherine Smith from Blog for Democracy and Georgia for Democracy.
Good evening, I'm Grayson Daughters, mostlymedia.wordpress.com.
This is Decatur Guy of Atlanta Public Affairs, and I haven't checked lately, but I think they still let me post on Peach Fun.
This is Jason Pye from jasonpye.com and Georgia Legislative Watch. And right. Yes, you're still on Peach Fun.
Okay, good.
But I'm not. And I'd like to say something about that, but we'll say that later.
Well, we're right in the middle of the Georgia legislative session, crossover day. It was yesterday, I think.
Thursday
from when we recorded this on Saturday at Manuel's Tavern. And there have been a lot of bills that, you know, kind of were put up and shot down. One of which seemed to come out of nowhere this past week, was the grocery tax, which, you know, since the 90s, I guess, Georgia hasn't had any taxes on groceries, and the Republican legislature was proposing to start taxing them as a way to raise revenue, kind of moving more towards a sales tax-based approach to raising money for the state as opposed to income or property. I just want to throw that out, see if anyone has any thoughts about that, or why was it raised, actually, and why did it fail?
I don't know why it was raised. You would think that raising taxes on something that everybody in Georgia buys would be something Republicans would stay away from. That's sort of not their philosophy. But I can sort of see now that you've sort of moved in with the maybe reducing income taxes or property taxes, why they might have proposed that. But it's just a bad idea. I mean, I think there's a sort of a common pact that you shouldn't tax food. And that's just a bad idea, and I think almost everybody, Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, Independents, would probably agree that it's dead in the water, and there's probably just a few wayward Republicans who thought it was a good idea, but they didn't pull it very well.
It got a lot of publicity.
It was Republican leadership that was pushing the bill, and from talking to different legislators, they whipped six bills, tax increase that would increase taxes. And that was one of them, and the smoking, the dollar for cigarettes was another one, and they were universally opposed to it, but for some reason it still came through. It initially started out as a $1 billion tax increase, but they moved the idea to tax credits, and it would be about $250 million was the final number. I know Eric Erickson isn't exactly the most liked person in these parts, but he made a good point saying, why would an idea like this get put out inside the legislature? I mean, why would Republicans allow something like this that's going to be so negative in the press? Why would they even allow it to get this far? And you know, to me, they should have never even brought it forward. That was a bad idea, very bad idea.
Do you think the bloggers or the blogosphere, I should say, the political blogosphere, had anything to do with how quickly that was shot down?
I would hope so. I mean, because a lot of elected officials, legislators, consider the blogosphere, both from the right and the left, to be kind of the pulse of the people. I mean, and I would hope that we played a part in it. Yeah.
Except when it comes to Georgia Power.
Exactly.
Well, why don't we talk about that? There was the Georgia Power bill. Basically, the issue was that Georgia Power wanted to raise prices for our utility bills today so that they could start paying for a nuclear power plant that's going to be built in 10 or 15 years or whenever. And typically, they don't do that. Typically, they build it, and then, you know, we pay for it after we're actually getting the benefit. That bill, actually, there was a lot of blogger opposition. A lot of it came out of Peach Pundit. Some of the few emails that I've actually seen from them advocating for any particular position, you know, were sent out pretty widely, and people were surprised to get an email from Peach Pundit at all, because they don't usually. So anyway, there was a lot of blogger outrage over that, but
there was outrage from everyone about that. I mean, it was universally unliked, except by the legislators who voted for it and Georgia Power. I mean, it was universal.
Clark Howard was very... Did they not get the people crying out over that one?
And I honestly think it will hurt them.
Well, how indebted are the people in the legislature to Georgia Power?
Apparently very.
On both sides.
No, I agree. How many...
either side, you're right.
How many lobbyists are there? I heard...
70. I heard 70 was the number floating around. I nearly fell out of my chair onto the floor when I heard that.
And the vice president or president from Georgia Power won. I can't remember who it was exactly. Even registered as a lobbyist to go lobby state legislation.
Yeah, well, did they pick up homeless guys off the street like they do to when it's election day to hold like signs it. And just like, hey, you want to be a lobbyist for Georgia Power?
Well, somebody ran the numbers. It was like three. It was one lobbyist per three members of the Georgia General Assembly. Yeah, and that's unheard of. That's unthinkable. I mean,
And you think about how much money that is. I mean, just talk about salaries. Let's just say, just for the sake of math,
right,
that they make $100,000 a piece. That's $7 million just in salaries, plus all the bonus, all the lunches, and who knows what.
$500 worth of tickets, hockey tickets for
It's a lot.
What do they do as a group? I wonder. Do they go down en masse and hire limos and take them all out to dinner to the ball game and then shuttle them back home?
I was at a dinner at.
At a midtown
restaurant where I know that the chairman of the appropriations committee was at, and it was interesting watching him over at the table.
Harbin carried the bill. I mean, he carried it in the House. And, it wasn't what pissed off everybody at Peach Point. It was twofold. One, the PSC should have been handling that. That's what the Public Service Commission's for. And a lot of us were making the point that if the PSC, and the members of the PSC were lobbying legislators to take it away from them. They didn't want to deal with it. I mean, Doug Everett, Stan Wise, two snakes, just... they didn't want to deal with the issue. They want to make a tough decision. Why the hell do we have a public service commission if they don't want to make a tough decision?
About Georgia Power.
The legislature is going to make all the decisions.
Stan Wise was busy in Congress, too busy in Congress, telling what the people regarding the stimulus said. We could not go green in Georgia because we don't have enough sunlight, I believe was his argument. Why we could not meet the 25, I think by 2015, they say you have to meet 25% of clean energy initiatives in this new stimulus, right? And he said, well, we just don't have enough sunlight here in Georgia. Gosh darn, where'd all those Pekingans come from?
The other major issue with the bill was the return of investment, the basically prepaid for profit. Yeah, that they were going to get off this bill, and what was it? $1.6 billion in prepaid profit and payment on interest. And
The other thing about it, that for me personally, the thing that was frustrating for me is that we should be thinking about conservation as a country, as a society, as a world. We should be thinking about conservation. If you are planning to build this plant that's going to me, you try to figure out ways that you can conserve as much as you can, and then build power to meet those needs, instead of building power now to meet needs that don't take into conservation into, you know what I mean?
They
I mean,
it's to cut back to 40 lobbyists if they did that, though. Well, I mean, it just does not support the system.
I just hope Ben Harbin got a ride home.
in a Prius? we're taking questions, apparently. This is something new to the Georgia Political Podcast. Someone has submitted a question on a napkin. Shouldn't the libertarian view be that they can charge whatever the fuck they want?
If it wasn't a protected monopoly, yes. If it was an open market, yeah. I mean, but it's a protected monopoly, and yeah, I knew I was going to get called.
And you were.
Well, let's move on to another issue where the legislature is affecting how much money the consumers are paying, and that's the ad valorem tax, which basically right now, every year around your birthday, you have to pay a certain amount of tax based on how much you you know, how much your car is worth. And I think what the legislature wants to do, and I'm not sure about the exact percentage, but I think you would pay the entire amount that you would owe right up front when you purchase the car, and
up to $2,000.
Up to $2,000, I guess. And was it 40% of the car up to 2,000?
I don't remember exactly.
But it just seems like a lot of money to add to the sale price of a car. And
well, we don't want to sell cars. Why would we want to sell cars? Everybody wants to buy a car.
It doesn't apply to your current car. It's your any future new cars.
Well, I was really disappointed because I saw, hey, no ad valorem. I thought, you know, it's a great, who's not going to like that? And then it's like, well, it's only a new car. Who's buying cars?
You still have a birthday tax if you're driving the same car.
Did you guys bought a car?
Yeah. Well, it also seems like it opens things up for, we were talking about this earlier, opens things up to fraud, because if you sell your car to your friend and you just say, well, you know, on paper I'm just going to charge you $1,000 for it, but you know, in reality you're going to pay me X amount of cash under the table, you know, what's to stop the state from losing all that revenue?
I just don't understand. I mean, it just seems like we're just shifting money around, and I mean for some reason Republicans don't like paying taxes on their cars, their property, and of course their income. And it just seems like they're just trying
to... You just opened up a big hole there. It's like a big punch at them.
It seems like they're just shifting money around just to try to hide where we're really being taxed. And at least with the ad valorem tax, we know what it's going to be, we know when it's going to be, and we know why they're taxing us. It seems... I don't have a problem with it. It just seems like they're making it more complicated.
Let me get the libertarian view out here. Yeah. No taxes. Well, at all, ever, on anything. Did I pass the grade on that one? It's a bad proposal, and it seems like most of the tax proposals coming from Republicans these days, whether it be the Glenn tax from last session or this tax proposal, I'm universally opposed to taxes. Nobody, I don't like taxes.
But they gotta be, they gotta be.
You have to have some taxes to provide for some basic services. I understand and agree with that. I'm saying from the libertarian perspective, we don't like taxes. But we're never going to get to that in Georgia, and I understand that. I realize that. But this, it's a bad proposal. I mean, nobody wants to do that. I mean, I don't mind paying the $200 every Christmas to get a new tag. I mean, I don't see why it's a big deal.
Well,
just the way it is.
In other states, they just have higher gas taxes, state gas taxes. Like the state that I used to live in, our car tags were cheap, you know, like $35. It was based on the weight of the car. And you paid higher gas taxes so that you were actually paying taxes for driving, right? So if you were buying a lot of gas and driving a lot of miles, then you were paying more taxes, which were for the roads, right? But in Georgia, I think it's a little bit strange that you pay these ad valorem taxes, but the gas prices are generally a little bit lower than they are in some
it's
other
like
states.
It's like a property tax on a car.
Yeah, so... So the people who have the more expensive cars pay the...
Well, maybe our new Department of Transportation will this can go to fucking, we should stick right into...
Well, yeah, that's the next thing that
maybe
we'll
talk
about.
Pull some more roads for us in this new formation of the DIT that's planned.
What is it called?
Oh.
What are they going to call
it? Georgia Transportation Authority?
GTA.
The Georgia Transit Authority. And I think the same person... Who got kicked? What's the name of the woman who got kicked off?
Gina.
Gina Evans. She's still the head of the Georgia Transit Authority, correct?
That was the weirdest job transfer I've ever seen in my life. One day she's kicked out, and the next she's on the front page of the AJC, like, glowing over a new position.
And, yeah, she
that was weird. That woman has more luck than, anyway.
You're never going to fix GDOT. GDOT's, I mean, GDOT's messed up. The whole funding system's messed up. The legislature it's giving more power to the governor. It seems like, you know, that's just a power grab. Yep. Why would you want to do that?
Is the legislature going to give it to him, do you think?
It's already passed the Senate. I mean, it's waiting on that for action in the House. I don't see how. I mean, some members have an issue with it, but yeah, I thought they would have had a problem giving more money or, you know, allowing Georgia Power to basically rob their consumers. I mean, you know, they'll probably go along with this too. I mean, they don't seem to have much of a backbone in the legislature. There's no organized opposition to anything, so it's
that's the most pathetic part.
And I haven't been down at the legislature, but that my friends who have been just say that really there's three people in charge, and you know
they're getting along right now.
And those are
Sonny,
yeah. Cagle, and Richardson.
Yeah, beyond
them, Cagle's the odd man out. I really think he's going to wind up being a loser this session if they don't come up with a new funding mechanism for transportation. Because everybody has told me that they're in the same place they were on Sonny Dye last year. They were constantly fighting, and that's the same place. So, I mean, even if Casey goes along with this, he's still going to come out a loser if they don't get something passed. They're already running ads, and they're already putting up billboards for a new transportation funding mechanism. So I don't know. I mean, I think by the end of the session, things may shut down again. Who knows?
I think in general, it's in Casey's advantage to appear above Sonny and Richardson a little bit. That he is the deal maker, the peacemaker.
Oh, I agree.
And right, if they're all getting along, in general, whatever the issue is, I don't think Cagle comes out looking good, because he needs to be seen as the person who's above the fray.
And the only thing on Cagle,
last year he did.
The only thing on Cagle's resume right now is I'm not Ralph Reed. I'm sorry. That's the only reason people voted for him is because they hated the hell out of Ralph Reed, and rightfully so.
Yeah. Well, this time last year, I would have said Cagle is far and away in a better position than anybody else. But after this session, I think he's looking a little dusty.
I agree.
Speaking of Ralph Reed, where's he been? He just sort of disappeared off the radar.
In the grass.
He's still in Georgia, though,
right? He's making money somewhere.
I actually saw him at an Americans for Prosperity event last year, and all of us kind of just looked over and just scowled at him.
Really?
I hate that guy.
What's the counter group to Americans for Prosperity, though? Americans for...
Americans against Prosperity.
There's one final issue from the legislature that I want to talk about.
The demise of science in Georgia.
Exactly.
Yay!
With Senate Bill 169, which basically, I think it started out to stop Octomoms in Georgia, and it ended up being an anti-stem cell research bill, which I think is bizarre, because...
How much stem cell research do we do in Georgia?
What I think is bizarre is that Georgia, for the past several years, has been trying to market itself. It's a high-tech, biotech industry...
Business-friendly state.
...state, and now we're banning this huge, huge segment of biotech research. And, you know, professors at UGA have said it's going to hurt us, and... Sonny Perdue has said he's a scientist and he thinks it's okay to have this. So,
They
still have some medical school.
Oh God!
I mean, he did do that ultrasound on the elephant in the zoo last year.
Yes, every year he does castration of animals.
I didn't actually get to see it. But the debate on the bill, from what I've read, was really funny, mainly because Preston Smith came across looking like a complete ass.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
And Georgia had the legislature had no business getting involved in something like this. I mean, I just don't understand that.
Well, from what I understand, there were some very passionate speeches from the well, from the Democrats as well. But apparently, they focused a lot on the fact that President Obama, has recently changed the position on stem cell research in the country. And they focus a lot on, we should, follow the president's lead. And I think that was a huge mistake on the Democrats' part, that we should have talked only about business. Because that's what, that's what our legislature, the majority of our legislature thinks about, is business. And this is very bad for business. It's very bad for education, for higher education. It's very bad for... entrepreneurial business. It's just overall, it's just bad for business.
Because today in
it guaranteed that we would be in the
New York Times today. They did a summary. What are the state legislators doing this year? And what do you think they talked about in Georgia? They banned stem cell research, and they still have not passed Sunday sales. The state of Utah, a Mormon state that is more Republican than Georgia. A lot, it just opened up stem cell research. They passed, they no longer, you no longer have to join a club to buy alcohol in a bar or whatever. They've opened that up. Utah is becoming more progressive than Georgia.
But you don't want to say something like that to a Republican that they're being progressive.
Progressive, as far as making less restrictions by the government.
More liberty.
In those examples.
But I mean, I think it would be a big, I mean, I think Richardson is in, should be very cautious about, you know, how, if this comes to the floor.
I've hearing rumors over the last few years that they've killed abortion bans. He shot down Martin Scott and Bobby Franklin last year pretty bad for wanting to restrict abortion in general. And I could be completely wrong, but I just don't see Glenn Richardson want to touch this.
I think it's over to hurt him.
Isn't part of this bill, it recognizes an
personhood, yeah,
as mm-hmm. a person?
Which is interesting because, you know, the other thing sort of related to this is that Michael Steele came out this week as pro-choice.
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
The head of the RNC.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I think he'll be ahead of the RNC.
Well, I think, they're already talking about throwing Steele out, though, from Robin Reed.
Bring that.
Who knows?
I mean, the peanut gallery is really getting restless in this podcast. Okay. Personhood was amended out.
Somebody.
Personhood was amended
was
out.
Personhood's out. I didn't see that.
Personhood
is in. Personhood is out.
So. Is that right? Okay.
Well, I feel like an idiot now.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Personally, it just seems strange to me after all these years of hearing about hearing from the governor that he wanted this to be a, you know, he wants to see the biotech, Georgia be a biotech hub, to eliminate a whole segment, to basically make the state look like it's not very open to biotechnology.
That's the argument. I mean, the same argument they had in Missouri in 06 was the whole fear of cloning.
Well, I guess there were also fear of, someone was talking about, like, crossbred animals or
something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They call it eugenics. I mean, that's
Preston Smith compared it to
the Nazis and eugenics.
The Nazis and Tuskegee.
Yeah, that's what Tuskegee.
I guess Vincent Fort was like, really? You want to bring that up here? Really?
No, I mean.
What? I missed that whole.
Republicans, you can't be the party. Republicans, the younger people who are coming up in the Republican Party aren't as socially conservative as the Republican Party thinks they are. Young Republicans are starting to be more socially tolerant as far as things like gay rights and abortion and things like that. They don't give a shit anymore. They really don't. I mean, a lot of the younger ones don't.
Well, where were they on stem cell research then? I mean, why aren't we seeing these progressive young Republicans, if I may butcher, you know, mash up terms to that degree? And I know they don't like that word, but if that's what you're claiming they are.
There are two of them
here in Georgia, I would imagine. And
a lot of the ones I've met, especially the RLCers, they're getting a little bit more, which are the libertarian-minded Republicans, they're getting more, not say inside the party, but people are listening to them a little bit. But they don't care about those types of things, and the young Republicans, a lot of the young Republicans, don't care about those types of things. Where were they? I don't know. Maybe they're not being.
Well, they might be talking to Glenn Richardson.
Maybe so. I mean, I'm not saying they have a big hand in anything by any means, but I mean, they're a very small group, and it's just one of those issues that I just don't think Republicans in the future are going to be able to win elections on. I mean, the only reason, in my opinion, the only reason Bush won in 2004 is because they put gay marriage amendments on 11 ballots. Including Ohio, which was a big
problem. Let's just say the reason that Bush won in 2004 was because we ran John Kerry.
Okay. Well, my point is young Republicans don't care anymore, and they need to stay in the social conservatism bullshit. People don't care anymore.
Well, look what happened to Michael Steele.
I think the Republican Party isn't sure what it is. I mean, this is
well, they're not sure what they believe in.
This is outside the scope of the Georgia Politics podcast, but yeah, the Republican Party is still figuring out what it's going to be, for the 2010s.
When it grows up.
So, Anyway, there's one other thing that I want to talk about before we wrap up tonight, and it's an idea based here in the city of Atlanta to bring video lottery machines to the underground. You might be able to hear the hisses from the
audience.
The
peanut gallery does not think much of this idea, apparently.
Catherine, do you have any thoughts on that?
I just wish we could do something like not half-assed once in a while. We could like build a real casino, have real gambling, and not just a bunch of, you know, video poker machines, basically.
I just want Penn and Teller to come to Atlanta.
Yeah, well, I mean, if we want to attract conventions and business and tourism, we need something more than a bunch of video machines in the basement of, you know, underground. We need, you know, to, and there are people I think who would invest in if we could get real casinos. I think they're
more class, less skank is what you're trying to say, Catherine.
Yeah, because there are, I mean, as the area around Centennial Olympic Park develops.
The peanut gallery, sorry. Our listening audience and not our video audience at the peanut gallery is weighing in one more time. Video poker plus 5-point smartest station equals bad.
I'm in favor of a casino, though.
Yeah. Oh, I am too.
Absolutely. I mean,
I'd like to wear a gown there, though, and not like a...
hot pants.
Not my hot pants. You know, it'd be nice to have it as a destination joint.
Bring casinos to Georgia. Allow medicinal marijuana and pardon all nonviolent drug
abusers. Yeah!
That wouldn't be good.
I got applause from that. To hell with the Republicans and legislature. Listen to me.
Hear that, Glenn Richardson?
Here's the problem with the underground casino proposal. It's in the wrong location for a casino or a video gaming hall, period. And it's in the heart of the city. If you look at downtown Atlanta, where the underground is the heart of downtown Atlanta. Do we really want to use that space? Everybody would agree it's not being used properly now. But do we really want our long-term future to be in that space, a casino? I'm off. I have no moral problems against casinos. Just not in that location. Put it over by the convention center. There's plenty of land. There's the whole railroad gulch. Put it there, but not there. Not at underground. It's the wrong location.
I just want legislators to look out the window and see it every day. I mean, I think that'd be kind of
fun. Well, they'd be there.
They would have to look out the window to see the Capitol, probably.
They'd see
the
Capitol and join them, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. A casino is a great idea, I think. I mean, you know, Vegas, I would love Vegas in Atlanta. I really would. I mean, it would be fun.
Well, you know, I'm in the trade show industry peripherally, and it would really help the trade show industry in this town, because we lose a lot of shows to
conventions, and I mean,
it would be good.
It would be a boom, yeah.
And I think it would, I tend to agree with you.
Put it in the railroad gulch, where they park for the Falcons for 8 games a year, and that's all they do with that space.
I think that would be good, actually. I think that if we put it closer to the convention center, and still within relatively close to Centennial Olympic Park, I think that would be, I agree with you. But what do we do with the underground?
That's another problem for another
show. Fill it in.
Yeah, really.
Fill those the capital.
Well, I guess we're almost at the half hour mark, so we should wrap it up. Actually, Jason, I'll start with you to see if you have any final thoughts you want to leave the listeners with.
I don't know, out of everything that's coming out of the legislature, like getting teased earlier about being a libertarian, not exactly having what is an ideal libertarian viewpoint, but just when you listen to people talk about stuff, just realize, try to get past the bullshit and just default to liberty, both economic and personal, because we're not truly free if we're being pushed aside by politicians who want to take our money and want to take our liberties. That's it.
In theory, I agree with that. It's nice meeting you today,
nice
Jason.
You.
And just want to say I have been checked out for the most of this session, and I apologize. But I just don't really care. But I promise, I come in waves, so there will be more posts on my blog soon. Thank you.
I still wake up some mornings wondering who's going to challenge Johnny Isaacson. next year. I have yet to come out with the same old name. Well, let me call my two rich friends. But
Libertarians may have a good candidate.
Yeah, I know. I wish there was somebody to challenge Johnny. Catherine?
Well, I guess this week I feel, even though we allegedly have a representative democracy or a republic, I feel like we're really, the state's really being run by the three big guys, and we aren't represented well at the state legislature, and I wish that that would change. I know it takes a long time, but I think that it's something that we all would benefit from seeing some changes in.
The public needs to get their 70,
yeah.
70 people out there. Well, I just want to thank everyone for listening. I want to thank Manuel's Tavern for letting us have the podcast here. And, of course, I want to thank Rusty and Amber from Georgia Podcast Network for giving us the hosting space and the equipment to record this on. This is Joseph Geierman. We'll be talking at you next time. Thanks.